Hi, welcome to another Coffee Time Chat. Today we look at hotel consultancy and ask, are they really the seagull at the picnic? I.e., they swoop in, make a mess, and then leave. Maybe that's a bit unfair. To help us along with this conversation, we're joined again by David Kasten from Strategic Solution Partners. In this wide-ranging discussion, we touch on a number of areas and pose a few questions. Why are hotel consultants a bit like Marmite? You either love them or hate them. Where can hotel consultancy add value and where might that increase during 2023? Why it's not always the consultant's fault and those hiring need to share some blame when it doesn't go as planned. What should be put in place from the outset to increase the chances of a positive outcome? And finally, where can consultants help with the current staffing challenge? Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hey David, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us on another one of our coffee time chats. How are things for you? You well?
I'm very well, Trevor. Thank you very much. I appreciate being on these calls with you.
Hey, no worries. Always enjoyed the last one we did, so I'm sure this one will be the same as well. So let's kick into it. We're going to be talking about consultants within the hotel industry. Let's dive into it rather than preempt some of it. So as we look into 2023, possibly with a continued degree of uncertainty, we'll see. We wanted to talk about where the value of consultants can be to the hotel industry. And from those that saw our last video, you're a consultant, you're one of the P's of the Strategic Solution Partners, one of the partners with Strategic Solution Partners. So it seemed a good idea to have you join us again to really pick up and discuss this topic. So first question, and this is a weird one to start with, but do you guys have Marmite in the US? It's called Vegemite in Australia. Do you have that?
You
know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Right, okay.
I think it sits on the grocery stores for many, many years before it gets bought.
Okay, well, that tees it up brilliantly because I can't stand the stuff. And we kind of have a phrase in the UK that, you know, we kind of say, oh, that could be a bit like Marmite. So, you know, you could be talking about something and you can either hate it or you can love it. And sometimes hotel consultants can kind of be a bit like Marmite, you know. They maybe have a bit of a bad reputation. So probably a better question for you rather than about Marmite is, I mean, is that fair? Can you understand sometimes why consultants maybe can get a bad rep, could have a bit of a dodgy reputation, let's say?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I recall a conversation that I had last week with someone in London who was looking for some consulting services. And, you know, we were actually talking about this subject. But, you know, I think over time, the consulting industry, particularly in hospitality, has gotten a better reputation. But, you know, if I think about some of the things that have given it a bad reputation, are, you know, quite frankly, some of the characters that get involved with it, because, you know, I think it's always seen as, well, you know, gee, you're not working with a brand or a management company anymore. You're retired or you're halfway retired. And now you want to throw yourself out as an expert. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I think part of the problem with the consultancy is that, you know, you do have some bad actors. They tend to be viewed as ultra expensive, mm-hmm. adding no value, mm-hmm. having no skin in the game. Yeah. So, you know, they come in, they tell you everything that you knew anyway, and then they leave with potentially no solution to the problem. So I think that that's half the battle.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we've had a tough couple of years, obviously, with the whole pandemic, and we had then the banking collapse that went on that impacted. So, you know, people do come out of working as employees and start consultancy and move into consultancy. But I think picking up on what you said there, it's whether someone's looking for something to do rather than actually trying to provide a consultancy service as a business and as an expert business?
Exactly, because you know, if you go into consultancy and you know you don't have a proposition where you're going to add value and clearly define how you can add value, you know, I think it's just a losing proposition, and you know, it becomes a negative for those of us that really enjoy the consultancy world. Mm-hmm. Because again, those people will leave an assignment and, you know, an owner or an institutional investor will say, well, gee, I'm not going to do that ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of then kind of muddies the water for when they maybe actually do need that. And we'll touch on the areas that where that could be of value. And I know when we were talking about this conversation and what did we want to touch on, you used a phrase, consultants can be a bit like seagulls at a picnic. And I won't use the terminology that you used at the time, but it was kind of like, yeah, swoop in, make a mess, and fly off again, kind of thing, with some slightly fruitier language in there.
Yep, exactly. You know, just create a lot of chaos, no solutions, and you know, that's kind of it. But again, I think that you know, there's blame on both sides. Yeah. When that happens, because clearly if a consultant is coming in and doesn't have a clearly defined mandate and deliverables, well, then clearly it's going to fail, because the consultant generally, if they're not highly ethical, is going to take the path of least resistance. And, you know, quite frankly, it becomes kind of a sexy job, 9 to 5, an hour for lunch, you know, chat with everyone. And, you know, at the end of the day, say, well, I did it.
Stand up there with a whiteboard, draw a few diagrams, yeah, and
exactly. What a great business.
We're obviously being deliberately a little bit contentious there to make it. But, you know, we know all consultants are like that, but we've all experienced a few that do that as well. Right. I think you sit back and think, well, what was actually that all about?
Right.
So let's just look ahead a little bit into next year, because we'll come back to some points that you mentioned there about the framework around a project. But let's look at some of the areas that either you have seen, not how a project works, but areas where having a consultant, what types of projects can be really useful, what types of situations hoteliers could find themselves in. Maybe looking into next year as they're having to kind of come out of the pandemic and now navigate these challenging times that we're going to have. What kind of areas could you envisage, or are you even hearing conversations that you may be having, or your colleagues may be having around consultancy projects?
Yeah, some of the most recent discussions really involve strategic discussions around, you know, where we move the organization, what the organization looks like, how the organization functions, because, you know, particularly in a world where you've got labor issues, mm-hmm, where you've got people now that want to work more remote, yeah, and not in a headquarters environment. Well, what does that organization look like?
Yeah.
You know, how do you change it so that it's optimal across the organization and across the globe? Because, you know, again, you're dealing with hospitality companies now that, you know, are no longer regional. They're you know, they're global. They're across the United States, they're across Europe, they're across Asia. And I think to get all of those different areas of the world speaking in one voice is really important. And again, you look at, you have to start with the organization. You know, is the organizational effectiveness there? And if it's not, what do you need to do to change that organization to get it all aligned? Because, you know, so many times we just continue to operate with the same model, thinking that, you know, well, the model is okay, you know, everything else isn't okay. So, you know, we never address the model. So I think that strategic piece, mm-hmm, is important. Which then, you know, drives it down to the operations as well, because if you're reconfiguring, you're realigning your headquarters organization, maybe you need to do that with, you know, your management company as well, you know, down to the property and the regional level. You know, they tended years ago to be very top heavy. Then they got lean. Then they got heavy. I think now they may be just a bit too lean again. And I think that, you know, we need to rethink, you know, how we deploy all of that expertise in the market. So I think that that's certainly a great area to play into as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess talking with the focus around the operational piece, because I guess from SSP's point of view, they also do a lot of work and focus a lot within smaller hotel groups or independent properties. So you may be looking at just one property or two, three, maybe half a dozen properties. So it becomes much more operationally focused than the larger branded properties. So I would assume, you know, everyone's looking at areas for efficiencies. You're probably looking at potential refurb projects, maybe new markets evolved or markets changed out of the COVID pandemic. Any areas that you've seen in and around the operational space and maybe staff related as well that that you think could be a value in that evaluation piece?
Yeah, and I think where the focus needs to be, or the focus will be in terms of the consultancy, is, you know, getting away from, you know, the more strategic and the more tactical now, is, you know, consultants can be very instrumental with driving a process, ending up with a result such as capital refurbishment. You know, where you don't want to take your limited resources from an individual property, or even larger, you know, from a group of properties or corporate level, you know, managing a process that you don't want individual properties or individuals themselves who may be, you know, spread thin, but to drive those individual processes to completion. Yeah. You know, you may have tax issues, tax reconciliation issues. You may have balance sheet reconciliation issues that, quite frankly, I've seen that, you know, you could take years and years trying to resolve issues with on property management, but it distracts from what they need to be doing on a day-to-day basis. So you get into this never-ending cycle of always being behind.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think consultants are good people to step in to fix those processes and, you know, put in new processes that eliminate the need for future consultants in the same area.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of, we've all experienced it in our own lives as well, isn't there? There's just something that just needs to get done and we never get the time to get to it. And you just think, I wish I could either have the time or who can I find to come and solve that for me? And it's that same principle, just to be able to move past it, get it sorted, know it's being dealt with, and then, you know, it's like, right, done, job done, move on, new processes maybe within the operation to help smooth that going forward.
That's exactly right. And I worked with a company this summer that was a hotel that had been closed during the pandemic, and, you know, obviously, you know, from an accounting perspective, there's still a limited amount of work that needed to be done. It never got done. They reopened the hotel. They were so far behind that, you know, they hadn't reconciled a balance sheet in over 18 months. And it's like,
jeez,
you know, where do you even begin with something like that? So a lot of times it's identifying, you know, resources that are needed to accomplish goals, not necessarily bringing somebody in that gets it done.
Yeah.
Because again, until you can define what the real problem is, you really don't know what resources are required to fix it anyway.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And you've mentioned a couple of things there. You used the word defined, you've mentioned deliverables, you've mentioned project. And I think if we try and tie back to our earlier opening question, not the Marmite one, but the bad reputation, is that sometimes these people come in, they talk, you might be paying a retainer and you're wondering what kind of value they are there. I mean, often the challenge, we can blame the consultant, but sometimes the challenge is also on those that are employing the consultant, because they actually haven't defined what they want that individual to do and what they are expecting as outcomes. Would that be fair?
You know what, that's a fair statement, and you know, goes to, you know, the old adage that you know, sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And you know, and particularly in the niche that we serve in SSP, you know, the smaller ownership groups, mm-hmm. that you know, may not have the corporate oversight that, you know, larger companies have, they may not have clearly defined the problem, and they may need a consultant to, you know, help them define what the issue is and what the resolution is. So yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, failure rests sometimes on both sides. If you can't define what the deliverable is, how can you expect a consultant to deliver on an expectation that you haven't defined?
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's almost a starting point where you may have a sense that, and it doesn't always have to be a problem that needs to be solved. It could be that your market has changed. There may be other opportunities out there that you're trying to exploit. So, you know, it can be opportunities and threats that you're trying to resolve. But whatever it is, what I'm picking up is almost to try and, rather than have a rolling consultancy, look at it as a project first and foremost. And then you might need to engage a consultant to come in, establish, you know, have an early conversation, establish the parameters, define some terms of reference or whatever the appropriate term might be. But to actually look at it as it has a start and it has a finish, and there is we know where the destination is likely to be, and the consultant would frame it at the beginning. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think that helps both from a consultant's perspective and an owner's perspective in defining the deliverable and making sure that everybody's got skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think that is also a negative is, you know, you look at a consultant that has a start, it has a finish. So how do you get skin in the game? How do you get somebody to feel like they have skin in the game when, you know, at the end of the day, whether it's 30 days, 60 days, 6 months, that you're walking away from something. So
I mean, that's a tough thing to do, though, isn't it? When you're bringing a consultant on for them to have skin in the game, because by definition, you know, it's your hotel. I mean, how do you create that sense of being part of it?
I think you create that sense during the journey. You know, particularly if it's a longer journey. You know, you can't expect a consultant to come in on day one, you know, and let's say that it was a 3-month assignment, you know, have the next conversation in 90 days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's got to be checkpoints, and you know, there's got to be, again, clearly defined deliverables, so that you can have the appropriate discussions, you can course correct during the course of that consultancy, so that, you know, again, owner feels good, consultant feels good, and you know that I think that feel good factor is part of what the skin in the game is. You know, because obviously you're not getting a bonus necessarily for doing what you did, but you are getting paid very well for what you're doing. And you know, if you're looking for references, you better be doing very well.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you can't get too granular, because sometimes from the consultants, and being fair to the consultant, having trashed them earlier in the conversation, until they get in, you can have that conversation with the operator, but the picture may not be exactly as it seems until you start to look through the weeds. But so whilst you cannot be overly granular, would you advocate that, back to your point of having some of these points, that checkpoints almost, that there be within the broader time frame, there'd be interim time frames, and then also some clear action plans around what are the core areas that you're going to be focusing in to start with, how those actions will evolve, what you might expect to see at these interim checkpoints? Would you get into that level of detail in those earlier discussions?
You absolutely would. And I think that regardless of what you're brought in for, you know, whether it's a strategic overview, whether it's something, you know, very tactical, you've got a problem. It may not necessarily be fully defined, but I think that within, you know, that first 2 weeks that you're going to have a very good feeling of the issue itself, mm-hmm. and some preliminary ideas around what the causes were and what the resolution might be. And I think that, you know, again, I think that early on approach is really important for a consultant. Not that, you know, you're stretching this out and, you know, on a 30-day consultancy, you know, 20 days into it, you're saying, okay, now I've got a solution for you, but I don't have enough time to fix it.
Yeah. And I guess that comes back in a way, there are almost those, that almost becomes a kind of a test of who you're dealing with as a consultant, because if they genuinely are capable of stepping in and delivering in a way, have been there, been in the trenches before, have done that, that's mm-hmm. how they've built their reputation, then their ability to grasp that problem, they should be able to achieve that within a relatively short period of time. Their ability to then lay out a course of action and understanding what, because ultimately they're trying to put themselves in the shoes that if I was running this, what would I want to finish with? Where would I want it to be? Where's my starting point? How am I going to get there? What are the steps I'm going to take along the way? I mean, if they're not comfortable laying out that plan, then that in itself would potentially be the first, be one of my first red flags.
Well, and that, and you're absolutely correct. And that's the value, I think, of having consultants, particularly in hospitality, that have walked the talk. It's so easy to go out and say, okay, well, you know, the problem is so big. Let's go hire McKinsey, or, you know, let's go hire Boston Consulting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, firms like that don't necessarily have the boots on the ground experience that, you know, operators might have. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, going into consultancy roles have faced some of the same issues that we're asked to resolve today, you know, that we've resolved in the past, you know, very similar types of situations. So you kind of know the landscape and, you know, where you need to go for the resources to get it resolved.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And I guess as well, one of the things that you touched on earlier on was around staffing issues. And I guess consultants can also provide a role that it, you know, obviously it has to be at a suitable enough level to justify the remuneration, but from a strategic or senior management interim role where you maybe it suits the consultant, they don't want to move into a permanent, mm-hmm. they want to stay consultancy, but finding that permanent employee can be a little bit more challenging because of the skill sets you need. I would guess, again, looking at a consultant as an option, albeit slightly more expensive than a permanent hire, you're actually having someone that is in there getting the role done, and it's a pair of hands. It's, you know, it's not work that's backing up or that's spreading everyone else a bit thin as well.
Yeah, that whole temp to perm is, I think, a great idea, and I think it's you know, going to get more life now that, you know, we're in the gig economy and, you know, people don't necessarily want full-time jobs, or, you know, they don't want to commit to a full-time job because, you know, maybe they don't, you know, like who they work for, you know.
Yeah, you know,
temp to perm works, I think, great for both parties because, you know, it gives both parties the opportunity to see how they might work well together. And I think a lot of firms are now employing that, you know, because, again, they don't want to waste a lot of time with an open position. It may be a critical position. You know, you look at a CFO role. Yeah. I've seen many temp to perm roles advertised in the marketplace today. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of that has to do with the fact that you don't have a lot of time. You don't want to go to the expense of hiring a search firm to do it. You know, temp to perm provides an opportunity for both parties to work together. And maybe sometime during that tenure, you say, OK, we like each other. The marriage is good. Now I'll work for you.
Yeah.
You know,
another option, isn't it?
again, you may have smaller firms where, you know, quite frankly, you don't need that full-time role. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's only 20, 30 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's not interim. It's not permanent. But, you know, a consultant would fill that role very well until the point in time that you needed a full-time role.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, we were kind of being a bit funny up front by saying, you know, consultants, what are they all about? But yeah, there are good ones out there, but we know that, like everything in life, there are good ones, there are bad ones. But I think the purpose of really getting you on for this conversation is to just say to people, you know, don't sit there with a problem, or don't sit there having identified an opportunity and then think, I don't have the resources to deal with it. You know, explore the consultancy route as a way of being able to move that problem forward and resolve it, or
yep.
maybe take the opportunity and at least explore the opportunity. But I think the advice that I would take from you is make sure you look at it as a project. If you need to get the consultant involved to at least frame the project, the clear parameters, fine, absolutely yep. do that. Make sure there's clear time frames. Make sure there's a clear action plan, and make sure there's some defined anticipated outcomes. And if the consultant isn't happy to engage with that level of project definition, then you probably need to go and find another consultant.
Exactly. I mean, it's just very different, you know, compared to, you know, let's say you need an interim GM.
Yeah.
You know, a consultant's role is going to be more than just a babysitter. Mm. You know, I look at that sometimes as you may be called in to be a mentor.
Yep.
You know, you've got a young staff. You've got good people. They may be, you know, rough around the edges, a little bit green. They don't have the depth of experience, but they need a mentor. In smaller companies, you know, they may not have mentors across the organization. Well, you know, unless you want people to fail, how do you bring them along? Yeah. And I think that, you know, consultancy is a very good way to look at that.
Yeah, that's a good point to end it on, actually, because you're right. You know, there's been a lot of change. People could be going yep. into next year with a very different looking staff than they had 2-3 years ago. And so having somebody there with a level of expertise that also they can bounce ideas off of,
yes.
they can be a sounding board, but also that provides another resource for them to help them guide their staff through. I think that's it's another very good thing.
Exactly. That's right.
Perfect. Brilliant. Well, this was meant to be a relatively short conversation, just touching on the subject. As is usual, when we get talking, it tends to roll a little bit longer. But I think we've covered all the points that we wanted to for this conversation. So thanks again. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Trevor.
Take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to David for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.